Thomas.
Matthew.
Tell me a story, spin me a yarn, paint me a picture with words about video games.
Sounds delightful.
Tom, I'm at a tag. Go on then, tell us a story. Tell us a story.
Oh, where do I start? Well,
I should start with what you've been playing this week, I would imagine.
Oh, we're getting right into it.
We are diving into the thick of it.
Well, this afternoon, I decided to play Mario Galaxy for the first time ever.
I decided to watch you because I have also not ever played Mario Galaxy.
Can you believe it? Now, I am familiar with Mario Galaxy 2. I bought that on the game's release and enjoyed it immensely while I played of it.
I'm familiar with neither of them because they were on a console I didn't really like.
So, Mario Galaxy, I picked up after Galaxy 2, if I remember that. And the reason I haven't played it quite yet is because I was trying to complete Galaxy 2 before I would go back and play Galaxy 1. The idea of starting Galaxy 1 while I was still midway through Galaxy 2 was silly to me.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't played Galaxy 2 for a very long time and never really went back to it. I'm sad to say because it was very enjoyable. What can I say about Mario Galaxy?
Nice introduction.
You saw the introduction of the game, yep. Yeah. And it's really good. It's got that charm. It draws you in. Really, it's hard to stop playing the game. I was familiar with a lot of the mechanics from Galaxy 2, so it wasn't like I was coming to this like, whoa, this is kind of new. This is like this 360 movement around the planets and pointing the Wii remote to collect the star bits and then hurtling off, flying through space to the next planet. And it's quite, for the time, Mario Galaxy was really a massive step in another direction for the Mario series.
Yeah.
And a great one it was. Thinking about it for the time, it was a very bold move. Bolder than we've seen on the Wii U Mario games.
Well, yeah. I mean, Nintendo can't really do anything at the moment, can they? Innovative. They're really playing it safe with a lot of this stuff.
They do seem to be. I'd really love to see Nintendo go out there and push the boundaries like they do with Galaxy.
Do you think they actually think they're doing that with something like this new Amiibo concept? Do you honestly think that they think that this is a step in the right direction for them to offer figures that actually offer you nothing really other than aesthetic upgrades for your character?
It's just the way the industry's gone now. I mean, these things are really popular.
Yeah, but this kind of toys to life mechanic that like Skylanders and Disney Infinity both have, they have a purpose. Like, when you are putting that figure on the portal, you are then playing that character. Obviously, Nintendo aren't going to cut characters out of their games because that would piss a lot of people off. So instead, they've kind of tacked this functionality onto Amiibos, and I don't necessarily think it's a good idea.
I think the things they give you are worthwhile. I quite like the Mii costumes that they'll give you access to when using Mario Kart 8.
But you really foresee yourself paying £10 to do that every time.
Yeah, but I don't think people will actually pay the money to do that. They'll be paying the money for the figure because it's a nice figure.
It is a nice figure.
And then these bonuses go with it.
Oh,
I'm actually really seeing any connectivity of the game as a bonus over the nicely designed figure that people will just buy because they look good.
Yeah, that's true, I suppose. But at the same time, like, I'd like them to do something a little bit more. Like, maybe if they could save progress like throughout games and all this kind of stuff.
Can't they do something like that with Smash Brothers?
They can with Smash, but that's it. Like,
there's hopefully a bright future ahead for the Amiibo.
I don't know. I'm still not sold.
Let's see a unique game concept developed using them.
We can only hope for that. Anyways, Mario Galaxy.
Mario Galaxy. I don't know what else I can say about it, really. It hasn't already been said. There's a reason why this game is considered one of the best Nintendo games ever made.
Yeah.
It's too early for me to fully agree with that yet. But I can certainly see the potential. Having played Galaxy 2 somewhat, I can also testify to the quality of that game, and I know how that builds upon this one.
Yeah, you also had the very interesting revelation, well, less of a revelation, you already knew it to be true, but now you feel it more. You said to me that Sonic Lost Worlds is just a rip-off of Mario Galaxy.
I think on a very basic level, it's a rip-off.
Yeah.
but playing Galaxy 1, for instance, which is... I think I haven't played Galaxy 2 since I played Sonic Lost Worlds.
Yeah.
So it was going from Lost World to Galaxy, then you do see certain connections.
Oh, okay.
And Lost World's not bad. It's not particularly good either.
No.
What I am excited about is this new Sonic Boom game.
I can't believe you haven't tried it yet. There is a demo on the 3DS eShop.
On trying out the demo, but I didn't get around to it today. But I will do, and I'll talk about that next week.
Yes.
But that's cool. A demo. Wow, Nintendo giving out demos. It's nice when they do that. They do that with Sonic games, I've noticed. Lost World had a demo on the 3DS.
Yeah, I remember them making a big deal, actually, on the 360 when they rebranded Sonic the Hedgehog and launched him of making a demo. It was like, we got to have a demo.
Rebranded it? Which one was
yeah,
that?
Yeah, the first 3D Sonic the Hedgehog game, you know, the terrible one on the Xbox 360 and PS3.
Oh, that one?
That one.
Oh, that had a demo.
I remember
then
that.
Everyone said the demo was better than the actual game.
Yeah, the demo was actually quite fun. Yeah, and then the game was a bit of a letdown.
The demo, but I have had the misfortune of playing that particular... Sonic 06, is it now?
Yes, it's known as Sonic the Hedgehog 2006.
As long-time listeners will know, I'm a fan of Sonic the Hedgehog. I've probably already made that clear. But yeah, that game is not one I have in my collection because really, it's that bad.
Worse or better than Sonic Air Riders or whatever the hell that game is called?
Worse. It's like unplayable in places.
Really?
Yeah, it's really,
God.
Really, really bad.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
Oh well, hopefully Sonic Boom would be a little bit better then.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. But going back to Galaxy, I'll add it to the list of games I've started.
And perhaps we'll never finish.
Which Bayonetta was added to that list the other week.
It
and
was.
So was Evil Within.
Yes.
The other week before that. I have still Donkey Kong Country Returns hanging.
Yes.
I've been holding off playing Tropical Freeze because I haven't played Donkey Kong Country Returns. But I am very far into that.
Yes.
I think if I go back to that, I can finish it. It's the same with Rayman Origins.
Yes. You haven't played Legends because...
I have played Legends.
Okay, oh yeah.
I bought it on the Vita and I started to play it. And I actually played it the other day.
Yeah.
Doing one of the daily challenges, which are quite fun. I enjoy that.
Okay.
Daily challenges are also a part of another game I've been playing, which is sort of related to what we're talking about. Sonic Dash.
Sonic Dash.
I'm playing this on the iPad, and it's
right.
Very addictive. It's been around for quite some time now. I never really got into it because I was trying to play it on my iPod.
Yes.
My iPod Touch, and it's quite a demanding game graphically.
Yes.
So it seemed to be a bit slow. Playing it on the iPad, though, also the bigger screen. It's very enjoyable. It's an endless runner game where you control Sonic from behind. Your goal is to... obviously, you're endless runner, so you keep running. Your goal is to collect as many rings as possible without getting hit and dying. So you can swipe left or right to change what lane you're running in. You can swipe upwards to jump, I think, and swipe backwards to roll. So you can defeat enemies by rolling. You have to roll under things at times.
Yeah.
And it all looks very pretty.
Well, the idea of Sonic lends itself very well to an endless runner in my head. So, yeah, I can see that working.
Very well made, I have to say, and retains that Sonic atmosphere.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can recommend that. It's free, but you can obviously buy perks within the game, such as get rid of the ads or get these extra star coin things, the red stars.
Yeah.
They're always the collectible in the recent Sonic games. And they enable you to unlock extra characters and add-ons and things like that. I'm not sure what I think about all this.
Are the Chaotix crew in it?
No, but that crappy one. Silver the Hedgehog's in it.
Cream the Bunny.
Cream's in it, and so is Blaze the Cat. And okay. Shadow and Tails, Sonic, Knuckles.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, this whole pay-to-play thing on these mobile games.
Yeah.
When you see these kind of... my girlfriend Claire has this racing game where you can buy a pack of cars for like £70.
Yeah.
And I'd really like to know the people who do that, because...
People do, Tom. Like, I read an article... I cannot fathom a good the logic. 2 or 3 years ago when Farmville was in the height of its popularity. And essentially, there was some really shady dealings going on with... What's the company called again who made Farmville? It's not Rovio. Those are the people who made Angry Birds.
That's correct. Farmville.
Zynga?
Maybe. I'm familiar with that... King, who do the candy.
No, it's not King. Brush. I'm sure it's like Zynga or something like that.
I can tell you. It's Zynga.
Yes, it is Zynga.
I think they bought the Let's Draw.
They did, yes. They were a very big Facebook social games developer, the first people to really pioneer the whole free-to-play formula to a lot of people on Facebook.
Yeah.
And they had, like, there was some article kind of came out, there's some really sketchy dealings going on, where essentially, like, 90% of their user base played the game for free. And then, like, a further 9% would occasionally spend a little bit of money, and we are literally talking, like, maybe $10 a month playing this game.
Mm-hmm.
But we're investing large bits of time into it. And then there was, like, 1% of the people who bought stuff from them were spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars a month to support their Farmville habit. Like, it's always a very, 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 very small percentage of the user base. They are the people who spend an awful lot of money on these games. And
do you think they're addicted, or they just have a disposable income?
I think it's probably a bit of both. From what I understand, there was an actual story about a mother being negligent to a child, and the child either being terminally or seriously ill from it as a result, or actually may have died, from what I remember.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I remember reading something like that. That
that's not good.
The parent was spending so much time playing social games on Facebook that they neglected their child. Unfortunately, the child was either seriously hurt as a result of it, or may have actually passed away.
As with anything, you know, you can abuse something like video gaming like you can drugs or alcohol.
Yeah, of course. So. I mean, you know, everything in moderation is a key thing to having a healthy life in general, I guess, especially video games.
How about you, Matthew? Have you been leading a healthy gaming lifestyle this past week?
I admit this week's kind of been more focused on like work and personal stuff. I think I've been doing a bit of editing for my YouTube channel, Biographic. So I've been looking at a game called Parasol Hemby and then playing another game which I plan to upload next week, so I shan't reveal what that is. It's based around a very popular cartoon cat, not Garfield. And yeah, as a result of that, I really haven't had chance to play much. We did go to Germany yesterday. We went on a day trip with a few friends of ours and your lovely girlfriend, and went down to the city of Flensburg, where there was a retro gaming store, and I picked up a handful of Game Boy games. I got one called Battle Unit Zeoth, which is a side-scrolling shooter where you're a robot, which is pretty fun, but very, very hard. A game called Pierre the Chef is Out to Lunch, which is also released on the Super Nintendo. Yeah, it's actually kind of a weird game, actually. It's like a platformer in the sense that you have to collect things and get to the top of the screen, a vertically scrolling platformer, but you have to also collect, like, there's fruit enemies that harm you throughout the stage. You have to jump on their head and then use the B button to kind of scoop them up in a net. So you have to kill and catch these things for your ingredients. It's kind of fun. And there's a Super Nintendo copy as well, which is apparently a little bit better. But
and an Amiga 52 version.
Yeah.
CD 32, sorry. Where did Amiga 52 come from? I just invented a console then.
You did. Amiga 500.
Yeah, I think that's where I was going. But yeah, CD 32 had a version of it. I'm just looking at it now.
Yeah, it's not too bad. I also got a copy of a game called The Smurfs Nightmare, which is a game that was released in the rest of the world, but only on the black cart. The Germans got a grey-only, just regular DMG edition, which is why I had to pick that up, even though I've got a black cart version. It is playable in English, though. There's a menu option that allows you to play in English, as with the German-exclusive Die Maus. Which is just the mouse.
This is a popular German character, I noticed, because while we're in a German supermarket, we were in Flensburg, I saw a cereal.
Yes. When we were in that tea shop in Flensburg, there was also a D-Mouse tea.
Mm.
It's a character that's been around for a while. There's also another game. It's developed by Infogrames. They also have another game in the same kind of isometric style as Monster Max, where you're in a pseudo 3D world. Very, very similar, actually, in terms of sprite design and stuff. Maybe there was a bit of them seeing that and being inspired by it. But they also did one for a German kids program called Ottovan, I think his name is. Otis Ottovan. He's an anteater, which is based on like a Far Side comic in German papers, which is also by the same developer and has the same view set. It just looks like sprite swaps, to be honest with you, but it plays a little bit differently.
I see it. I'm looking at the mouse in the isometric world.
It's very
and
odd.
And there's a hedgehog.
No, it's an elephant. It's a little
there's
elephant.
An elephant and a hedgehog in this particular clip.
But you can play between the two. You press the select button, which switches the character select, and you need both of them to solve puzzles, whereas in Ottovan, you just an anteater who has to solve puzzles on his own.
It looks a little dull, to
be
honest.
It is a little dull. Music's very good in it, though. I will give it that.
Can I hear the music? And I won't play that right now.
Yeah, but the music's all right. Like, to be honest, it didn't really hold my attention very long. The Smurfs game, I was presently surprised at. The Smurfs game is actually very good.
I saw the Smurfs game just now, and I really like the visuals.
Yeah, it's very nice. Big chunky sprites, a lot going on the stages. It's pretty good. And then, finally, I got another game, which I'll say in a moment, so I'll hand it back over to you. What did you buy in Germany, Thomas?
Well, before I move on to that, I was just looking at other Game Boy ports. And there's a Maui Mallard.
Yes, there is, but only in the United States of America.
Wow, and such a beautiful game on the Super Nintendo.
Yes.
And looking at it here on the Game Boy, it's quite interesting to see the differences.
Yes.
But yeah, the fact they got ported at all. Fascinating.
Well, you know, DuckTales 2, Darkwing Duck also saw ports on
those games were 8-bit games.
They were 8-bit games, but Maui Mallard, I guess, was just an extension of the want for something Duckiverse related.
That's
on the Game Boy.
I mean, Donald sells.
I mean, there was a lot of Mickey games on there as well, like Mickey's Magic Wand and this kind of thing. So
Mickey Mania never got a Game Boy version.
No, it didn't.
It?
No.
I'm often surprised at what games got Game Boy versions. That's really the crux of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some you wouldn't expect, like Earthworm Jim and obviously the Oddworld games as well, which are a bit weird to think that they're either big 32-bit games or something that was really pushing like a Super Nintendo and then tried to scale that down to an 8-bit console.
Like Mr. Nuts.
Indeed.
Which is a game I bought for the Super Nintendo.
Yes.
It's been recommended to me by a good friend, Mega Drive Gary.
Of BlastProcess.com.
A contributor to Blast Process, yes. And he actually recommended the Mega Drive version. And I saw it for Super Nintendo in the shop we went to. Do we know the name of it?
If you look up for it on the web, guys, and you're in Flensburg, it is called Telespiel Paradies. But it's not actually called that. It's been rebranded to Retro something or other. I can't quite remember the name of it. It won't come up on the internet, Tom. I tried searching for it earlier. But, yeah, it's pretty good. A lot of the prices were a bit up in the air. Like, there was a €29 cart of GoldenEye that particularly sticks in my mind.
Yeah, and the guy was very protective of certain items within his shop.
Yes, I strongly suspect that they may have been his personal collection, some
I
of them.
I think so. He was very keen to point out a P-24 wasn't for sale, as it was sitting on a shelf which looked like it should be for sale. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. It was some very weird stuff.
Yeah, it was an odd little place. And as Matt said, some of the prices were a bit off. I paid €12 for Mr. Nuts, which seems about, it is an unboxed copy. About, all right, euros being a little bit more than pounds.
No. It probably works out at about £8, something like that.
Yeah,
I think.
That's what I mean. Like €12 being more than the pound equivalent.
Oh, right, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so £8. That seems to be the going rate for it on eBay. Although there was a one with a very low starting bid of 99p.
Yes.
I noticed.
Okay. But you have
it. It's okay. I have it, and it's a great game. And it's another interesting one because it's a very beautiful looking game. The sprite design's fantastic.
Yes.
And then again, yes, it's got a Game Boy version. So
yes,
it does. It's also got a Game Boy Advance version, I found out.
And a Game Boy Color.
And a Game Boy Color version. The Advance version, which sounds quite exciting at first, it's apparently not a very good port.
No, which is a bit of a shame.
So, I think either Super Nintendo or the Mega Drive are maybe your best bets. I don't know about the Game Boy Color version or the original Game Boy version.
The original Game Boy version, to my understandings, is all right.
Okay.
I don't think it's obviously going to look as lush as the Super Nintendo or Mega Drive version.
It's a pretty game. And that's the big sprites as well. That's
yes. Big
the gameplay seems really simple, to be honest, but reasonably challenging. And I like it, and I'm happy picking up that one. Interesting to note that the character Mr. Nuts on the cover of the game looks a lot more aggressive than he does in the actual game.
This
is one of those
does.
Cases of changing the branding to appeal to the generation who brought up, I guess, with Sonic and these characters' attitude.
Yeah, it's very weird, isn't it? Because, like, you look at it, and from the outset, it's just like, I honestly always thought, even though I had a copy of this game and it is published by Ocean, I always thought it was a Rare game. I always thought it was made by Rareware for some reason, like when I used to play. I guess because of Conkers, but I always assumed that Mr. Nuts was somehow related to Conkers because he kind of looks a bit similar with his attitude on the front of the cart.
Yeah.
But then when you actually play the game, of course, he's totally cutesy and very much like the pre-Bad Fur Day Conkers game that Rare were originally developing.
And Conkers Pocket Tales on the Game Boy.
Yes.
Colour, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, it's great. Apparently, it's designed to look like more of a Disney style character,
and
that's definitely
that
evident within the game, but not on the packaging. Yeah, I'm happy with that one. Also, I picked up Plock for €8.
Plock.
Plock is a cool game, I think, by a British developer, if I'm not mistaken, and it's a platform game, not your average platform game. I've had very little time spent with it at the moment, but you have certain objectives of collecting things and such, and it's got a strange kind of progression which is quite unique for a game of its type.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm trying to find out where it came from. Who developed it? Software Creations,
not a company I'm familiar with.
Creations began in 1996. Steve Ruddy responded to an advertisement he had placed in the Manchester Evening News. So yes, they are British.
Okay.
And it's got a very British sense of humour. Because I remember watching the review online of the game.
Unfortunately, that British sense of humour is lost
it's
on you.
It's totally lost on me because the version I bought was in German.
Yeah.
I knew if it had any text, it was going to be German. But I'd forgotten how much text was in it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because I think some of the objectives are spelled out to you because they're not always obvious. So I think I'm going to maybe run into a few problems along the way. But it's a beautiful looking game. It's a slightly more simple, bold style than Mr. Nuts, which is a very kind of very detailed, painterly style.
Yeah.
But this is like one of those funky 90s Saturday morning cartoon type affairs.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of it, Rocco's Modern Life, something like that. The cool thing about Plock himself as a character is he can fight off all his limbs.
Yeah.
So he punches. It's like Rain Man. He's got no arms or no legs.
Yeah.
And when he attacks, he fires off his arms. And if you keep tapping the attack button, he'll fire off his legs as well. And yeah, it's quite fun. I mean, I've spent very little time with it at the moment, so expect an update and a further edition.
Cool,
if I do continue to play it.
Yes.
Which is
always a mystery. Because
which
you
is
start,
always a mystery.
You start a
Who
game,
knows
you seem
if we'll
to
ever
very,
talk about it again.
You start a game, you seem to very enjoy it on a podcast, and then a week later you haven't played it.
Here's an interesting fact about Plock. The game was presented to Nintendo for publication.
Yes.
And Miyamoto himself expressed a strong interest in working on the game. However, they ultimately decided against publishing Plock.
Right.
I think one of the developers here, I suspect Yoshi's Island was in development at the time. Perhaps Miyamoto decided to Plock was too similar to Yoshi's Island.
Really?
Yeah. That's interesting because I guess they both have quite unique visual styles, but.
Yes.
But Plock is a very curious game. It's one I've been curious about for quite some time. So I'm very happy now to finally own a copy. And I think at €8, I saw it. I was like, well, I'm wanting to pick this up for ages.
Yeah.
I want to play it now. I want to pick it up in Germany. I want to take it back to Denmark. I want to play that
yes.
thing. So, yeah, happy with that one. I think they were my only two gaming purchases. Actually, they weren't. I purchased more, Matthew.
You purchased more?
I've purchased Demo's Quest for the CDI. Oh, really? Game developed by Vision Factory, who did my favourite CDI game, The Apprentice. That's correct. And it's got a great soundtrack, which is what sold me on the game. I searched for the game on YouTube, found the soundtrack, and that...
You've linked it to me in work and gone, like, listen to this. So I agree, it's a pretty damn good soundtrack.
The game, on the other hand, I know very little about.
Okay.
I did see some footage of it. It looks like a top-down puzzle-type game.
Okay.
But I, well, you know, I'll see what it looks like.
Yeah.
And I'll let you know. But that'll be going back to the UK, so we won't hear about that anytime soon.
Until after Christmas, I assume.
Yeah. But what I also picked up around about the same time was a CDI. I think I mentioned that maybe last.
You mentioned
week.
The CDI, yes.
Okay. Yeah.
But you did not mention what else you picked up.
Oh yes. Okay. So this is Matt's fault.
It is my fault, but it's wonderful because it kind of rolls off the back of the CDI in
another
what other
CD-based
console that nobody in their right mind should own.
Because there aren't many fantastic games for it, but there are a few. So yes, I think you can compare the Mega CD to the CDI.
Yes, I think so too. And you picked up the Mega CD 1.
Oh yeah, I just revealed then it was
you
a Mega
did,
CD. Very,
yes.
Very, slyly.
Sneakily, yes.
The original Mega CD, Matt saw it for sale online, sent me a link. I decided it was a good deal and picked it up.
Yes. That's fair enough. I mean, have you got any games for the CDI?
Mega CD. I've got plenty of CDI games.
Sorry, for the Mega CD. Sorry, they're almost the same in my head.
No,
funny that.
I haven't, but I've been doing my research on what games I'd like to pick up for the system. I think Sonic CD, even though I do own it on other formats, is, you know, a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I'd like to have Sonic CD. Also, there's a game called Time Gal, which I bought for Blast Processor Mike as a birthday present some time ago, which is rather fun, Dragon's Lair-style SMV adventure-type arcade game. I wouldn't mind that one.
Yeah.
I was also looking at a few others. One I played at the Play Expo in Manchester not so long ago, which was KO Flying Squadron, which is a side-scrolling shooter, very Japanese style. Great soundtrack, of course, there was a lot of Mega CD games, CD quality. It's expensive, though, as seems to be a lot of Mega CD games that I'm interested in. £85 to buy it now on eBay, and the other options are also rather high.
But there's never go with those things.
No, no, don't worry. I'm not going to pick it up for £85.
How is Road Blaster or Road Avenger,
oh,
as
it's great.
Called?
It's another FMV type thing.
Because it's all I ever see when I see 32.
Yeah. I have a feeling it was packaged with some Mega CDs, or at least it was a launch title, perhaps.
Yeah, and maybe it was, because I see it an awful lot on the Danish version of Gumtree for quite a reasonable price, actually. I should let you know after the podcast. But, so, those are the ones you're thinking of at the moment.
There's one called a Sylphide, which I think the seller of the Mega CD was actually selling, but I didn't decide to pick it up at the time.
Yeah.
I might have to look into getting this. It's similar to Star Fox.
Yeah.
I think it I'm just looking up some footage now because I've not actually researched it that much. But I think it's got some pseudo 3D graphics going on there.
Okay.
So that's another one that... here it is. I'm showing Matthew now. Imagine it.
So that one?
Yeah.
200 krona.
200 krona.
Yes.
20 quid.
Yes.
No, I can get cheaper than that.
Okay. As is a copy of Road Avenger and Final Fight.
Yeah. Well, the one that sell Road Avenger for 200.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Road Avenger is quite a common game. I might pick it up. I don't know.
You don't know?
There's BC Racers, which is a prehistoric racing karting type game, which also caught my eye earlier today.
Okay.
So there's a few. Eternal Champions had a sequel on the Mega CD.
Yeah.
Which is called Challenge from the Dark Side.
Okay.
Being a fighting game fan, I might pick it up. Buy now eBay price of £25. Maybe not. There's a game called Robo Aleste. And that's Aleste, A-L-E-S-T-E.
Yes.
Which is a side-scrolling robotic shooter type thing. Which is considered by many to be one of the top titles on the Mega CD. costs £50 by now on eBay. You see the trend here?
Yes.
There's also Snatcher, of course. But God knows what that's going for nowadays. But I've played Snatcher on emulator before and rather enjoyed it.
Well, fortunately for you, though, Thomas, what you're bearing in mind, not that we condone emulation in any way, is that early CD-based consoles don't have any piracy, so you could theoretically rip the image to a CD if you were to be so inclined and just play the games anyway. Just saying, if you were a naughty man, which we would never mention on the podcast, because emulation is bad unless you own the original software, you could just do that.
But remember, the alternative is $129.95 on eBay. Buy it now for a copy of Snatch without
and
a manual.
Who knows if that's a real one, because there's lots of fake copies of that game floating around.
Complete in-box Snatcher with manual, £230. Buy it now.
Yeah.
It's one of those games which will be nice to see re-released. I know there was rumour at the time being released on the DS.
Yes, there was.
Never happened.
Never came into fruition. Did I tell you the story of how one of the chaps who works in Super Tomato in Cardiff, Tom, got his copy of Snatcher for 50 pence?
I think you might have done, but let's... you haven't shared it with our podcast listeners.
Maybe I haven't. Apparently, you walked into a cash generator, which had just opened in Neath at the time, which is
cash
a small
generator,
town in
great,
South Wales.
Second-hand store in the UK.
And he looked in their bargain bin of stuff, because there was a few PS1 games in there, he said, and there was a Mega CD copy of Snatcher. Obviously, a cash generator is a store that will generally price up its things. I think this was after the internet boom of retro gaming stuff, so it probably would have been pricey. Had there not been a small crack in the artwork of the disc. However, the person who obviously priced that then thought, oh, well, God, we can't sell this. It's got a crack in the disc. It's not going to be playable. So they put it in the bargain bin for 50 pence. Mm. However, on closer inspection, Tom opened the case, turned the CD over.
Not
CD
me.
Was fine. So it was okay. There was just a crack in the top of the artwork where they compressed the artwork onto the disc. And so it was fine, playable, took it home, and he's got a copy of Snatcher, it cost him 50p.
Has he sold it yet?
No, he hasn't.
Mm, good.
Yeah, it's part of his
personal
collection.
Does he
want to
sell it?
I don't think so, Tom.
Shame.
I don't think if you tell him you do it for a quid that he'd take the bait.
So I've got some exciting CD-based gaming on the horizon.
Yeehaw!
I've got Demo's Quest to play on my new CDI. I've also got no Mega CD games playing on Mega CD. I better get on that.
Put a CD in there and play some tunes.
I can.
Good times.
That's possible. But happy I've got the first version.
Yes, you were very happy.
Well. I like the disc trays.
Yeah. Well, I picked up another game in Germany.
I've been saving this one.
I've been saving this one because I kind of want to talk about it and my disappointment with it after everyone I know seeming to love this game. I picked up a copy of Hudson's Adventure Island for the Game Boy. Now, I've seen a lot of love for Adventure Island. Like
popular title.
Countless people from our friends at Blast Process. I think I've seen a few things and mentions of Adventure Island. I've seen our friends over at the Retro Asylum podcast talk about this game quite a while. Mm. And I'm very unimpressed because it's just Wonder Boy.
Yeah, it is.
And not the good Wonder Boy. The shitty Master System Wonder Boy, which just has you jumping over things.
Of course.
What the fuck is the obsession with this game? It's just a bad port of a bad game.
But
what's
again,
wrong
Adventure
with you,
Island
Internet?
Was the original.
It was
if
the original.
That's how I understand it.
But still.
It's still the same game.
It's still
Wonder
the
Boy,
same
yeah.
game. How the fuck do you have so much joy playing a game which just essentially involves you jumping? There's not much more to it than
like
that.
It's like an Endless Runner, really. It's the forerunner.
It is the forerunner to Endless Runners. However...
It is prehistoric in its gameplay.
It's ass. I've played better 2600 games. Like, I don't get it.
There's a very awkward jump, if I remember, on Wonder Boy. Did you encounter that same...
I did thing? Encounter that same jump. I also encountered the stupid bloody cobras that jump up and down and hit you.
Yeah.
And I hit a rock that killed me. And I thought, oh, fuck this game. And I turned it off, like, straight away. I was so disappointed.
Never to play again.
I will play it. I will have to play it. Eventually, there will come a time where I need to record a biographic on that game. And... Oh, God, just why? Why? I'm going to piss so many people off when I make that biographic. But I just don't get it. Please.
Sequels. Maybe they improve.
Adventure Island 2 is apparently a completely different game. And Adventure Island 2, much like Wonder Boy and Monster Land and the other Wonder Boy games, is supposedly a lot better. However, I don't get people's obsession with the original Adventure Island. If you do like Adventure Island, please, for the love of God, or Wonder Boy, for that matter, please write into us at Twitter at TMAcast and please let me know what I'm not getting about this game, because I just really don't like it.
Each to their own.
Indeed.
I've not been that tempted to play it.
Yeah.
Actually, I did enjoy it a lot more in the arcade, because I've played it in an arcade once somewhere. And I got a certain degree of satisfaction out of it.
Okay.
So maybe it's more to do with the console ports, which aren't so...
Maybe I just need to play it a little bit more. Maybe if something will eventually click, I don't know, but...
Adventure Island 2, you can ride a little dinosaur.
Yeah, well, this I hear is actually a very good game.
Yeah, never played it, but I'd be interested to try this one.
Yeah, I'm going to try it out too. I always used to confuse Adventure Island with Joe Mack for some reason. I guess...
Joe Mack Caveman?
Yes. I guess there's something similar in the art style of the box art that always gets me to confuse him in my head.
No, I can see that.
Yeah.
But there's been a few events, right? And 3, 4?
Yes, there has.
Yeah.
But, yeah, not really a game I'm that fast on pursuing at the moment. I'll have to get the second one eventually. But I hear that's a lot better, so I'm looking forward to playing that. I also picked up a last Game Boy game of the week, which was
Game Boy game of the week.
We haven't done our Danish deal of the week in a while. We need to get on.
What's your Danish deal of the week, man?
I haven't got any because I don't buy games in Denmark anymore because they're very expensive.
Neither I.
I bought a copy of Starhawk for the Game Boy, which is quite an elusive title.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very excited to play it. It's a side-scrolling shooter, a shump. And there is supposed to be one noticeable flaw with it in the fact I've heard that the way the ship is designed is very tall. Right. And so the collision detection on the game is so precise that a lot of times while you're trying to fly under things, you will accidentally smash the cockpit into the top of the screen or into an obstacle and die. So... I'm very, very curious to play it because it's supposed to be a very good game and soundtrack on it. It's supposed to be one of the best on the Game Boy and visually it looks very good. But I've heard that the shape of the ship, because it's a very primitive early Game Boy game in terms of like what was doable on the console, isn't very optimized for the console. So it'll be interesting to see.
Fiddle flops.
Fiddle flops indeed. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. I'll let you know again. It'll probably be after Christmas, so I won't be home until then.
Okay. I won't be able to tell you about Excalibur 2555 AD till after Christmas either.
2555 AD, you say?
Yeah, some sort of third-person action game set in a future where the knights and such and Arthurian legend is rife in this reality.
Are they mechanical dragons?
I really don't know, and I've really picked up on a whim. I saw it on eBay for next to nothing, the title, and I looked up some footage and thought, they look curious enough.
Why was your first thought not to say, hey, I wonder if they're mechanical dragons in this game?
I'd be disappointed if there wasn't.
I would be very disappointed if there wasn't. That would be a deal breaker for me.
Also, I think this game's going to be one I'm going to pick up and play for 5 minutes and then realise it's not very good and never play again.
Probably. How much did you pay for it? It was like £3, right?
Yeah, well, £3.
Yeah. I would bet that's probably the case then at that price.
That's such an odd concept and the visuals are so bad.
Okay.
Bad in a good way.
Okay.
You know, not that they were terrible, terrible graphics, but some of the design choices were very off.
Questionable. Okay.
And the whole concept of the game, a kind of future where you have knights and Arthurian legend and Excalibur.
Yeah.
Yeah, it appealed to me. So.
Okay.
Yep. Look forward to hearing about that sometime, maybe in the near future. But what I can tell you about right now is I picked up Shovel Knight for the Wii U the other day. And it's really good. And I think everyone's known that Shovel Knight's been on the radar and is a really good game for quite some time now.
Yes.
But Europe hasn't been able to play it because it's taken an awful long time to get released over here.
Yeah, it was released after the recent Nintendo Direct.
Mm. And for those not in the know, Shovel Knight is a throwback to platformers of the NES era. It's styled to look like a NES game. Also the music, also the cutscenes, the storytelling, the... Well, I'm surprised it actually got a hub world as well, where you talk to characters.
Yes, and they talk with some whimsy,
They do. There's a guy who just speaks in puns, which was quite hilarious. So the game's got a sense of humour, of course. It's a game called Shovel Knight, you'd expect that. You play as a knight with a shovel.
Surprise, surprise.
You're trying to rescue your friend and partner, Shield Girl, I think her name was.
Shield Girl?
Yeah, who has been kidnapped by an evil sorceress who has come back to wreak havoc on the land. The gameplay mechanics of Shovel Knight make it very playable. You've got the shovel you can bounce off in a similar way you bounce off Scrooge McDuck's
pogo stick like cane.
Yeah. Yes. You don't bounce so much as you attack downwards. You can only bounce off enemies.
Ah, okay.
So it's not like you can pogo all the time. Was that Scrooge McDuck? Can he only bounce off enemies, or could he just...
Scrooge McDuck could do it any time.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, it involved a lot of the platforming involved you bouncing on the cane.
But this game, again, involves you breaking through blocks as well, usually with your shovel, digging up earth. It plays like these old classics do. It just plays like a really classic, well-made game from the 8-bit era.
Yes.
And it looks lovely. And the style choices are great. Where it looks like an 8-bit game, it also just looks good because it's got good design.
Yeah.
In the visuals, the backgrounds, and the character sprites. It's addictive. It's got some nice, fresh gameplay mechanics. I like it, Shovel Knight. It's well worth picking up. It's $12.99. That's British pounds on the eShop. It's more lean toward the expensive side.
It is, but seems like a good game that's worthy of that amount of money, I would say.
I'd say so from what I've played of it already.
I'm very annoyed that we didn't get the cross-buy thing that America got, whereas if you bought it for the Wii U or the 3DS, you got the other version for free.
Mm.
Kind of annoys me that I get money off the other version and not get the
33%.
Yeah, exactly. It's not even like it's half 50. Price. Yeah.
33. Yeah.
Because like both of them for £20, I wouldn't mind that.
Well, isn't that pretty much what it is?
Well, if it was 50%, it would be right.
Well, the $12.99.
Yeah.
33% of $12.99.
Yeah, it makes it like £8 something or other.
There you go. It's around about £20 for the both of them.
Yeah, okay, I guess.
I've been tempted to pick up the 3DS version as well.
Yeah.
But maybe not. I'm not sure yet.
I might pick up the 3DS version and then see what it's like, but we'll see.
Yeah. That's everything that I've bought and played this week, actually, I think, apart from a little dabble on the Game Boy, original Game Boy, which I'm now a proud owner of, thanks to Matthew having a spare one.
Yes.
Nice red DMG.
Play it loud.
Is that what you say? Is that what you Game Boy people call them?
It's a DMG, yes.
And I've been playing Wario Land a little on there, and Mario, Super Mario Land. Mostly those two.
Yeah.
Just slightly. There's nothing quite like playing those games on the console they were designed for.
This is true.
Yeah, even though they look odd.
Well,
at times. It's a nice odd. Do you know what I mean?
I don't think they look that odd.
Well, depending if you get the right light, I suppose.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it is due to the lack of a backlight in that screen, which is a real hassle.
There's no other games of the era that look quite like original Game Boy games on original Game Boy.
No, they have aesthetics very honed to that console, especially in the Nintendo games, because they really push the console to their limits.
And you can see each individual pixel on the screen, the way
which
the
is
screen,
amazing,
which has some appeal for the nostalgia people
like myself.
Play retro games.
Oh,
very very retro based podcast this week. Even Mario Galaxy, I guess, is maybe considered slightly retro now.
Yes, I think so. I'm pretty sure Retro Collect's got a Wii section now.
Yeah. You know, but playing Galaxy, I started to think, you know, this game's beautiful.
Yeah.
It really does look good. And at the time on the Wii, it was like, ooh, very nice.
Yes.
Of course, now playing it years later, you can see the rough edges and stuff, especially playing it on a HD TV.
Yeah.
Even though the Wii U's playing it on a Wii U through a HDMI lead, you can still see. And you think, it's amazing what Wind Waker looks like on the Wii U. Just think how amazing Galaxy could look if it was
HD remake.
But I wouldn't like to encourage Nintendo to keep doing HD remakes.
So are you not excited about the HD remake of Majora's Mask that was announced this week?
Well, it's not HD, is it?
Isn't it?
Otherwise, I might be. It's for the 3DS.
Yeah.
So it can't really be HD, can it?
More HD than it was. I guess they'll upscale some stuff and whatever.
They'll probably use the same Link 3D model as they used in Ocarina of Time 3D. Yes. Yeah, there's been some interesting announcements made this last week on the latest Nintendo Direct. You actually admitted to being excited about Splatoon now.
Yeah, now that I've seen some of the single player campaign, I'm quite excited for it again. It looked interesting. I liked some of the character design and stuff. I didn't really like playing the multiplayer because I thought there was a bit too much going on.
Mm.
And in the brief 5 minutes I got my hands on it, then I was like, I'm not too fussed on this. Mm. I was very much looking forward to it. Then I was kind of off put. And now I'm kind of on board again.
You want to give it another chance?
Yes, I do. I want to actually play it properly in my house and see what it's like.
To me, the prospect of Splatoon, it looked pretty cool, but it didn't really excite me. It didn't get me going.
Yes.
Seeing the new trailer with, as you say, the new character designs, the villains,
yes,
the octopuses. Now I'm interested.
It's kind of got like a weird, updated Day of the Tentacle vibe to it for me, the LucasArts adventure. You're not familiar with that? There's like tentacles that look like...
I've never played the game. I am familiar with it, though. I've heard of it.
But it kind of had a bit of that meets Nintendo. I was kind of like, okay, I'm back on board now.
Yeah. Was there anything else in Nintendo Direct that got you particularly excited?
Not really.
Were you interested in Xenoblade X?
I am, but it just looks like a nice JRPG.
Mm.
I haven't really got time to play them anymore.
Yeah,
which kind of makes me sad.
Like a really big, expansive world to the point where the characters in the world look rather small.
Yes.
That's what I thought.
Kind of reminded me a bit like Final Fantasy XII and the open worldness of Final Fantasy XIII, but with a lot going on in it, admittedly. Mm. It didn't seem so linear as Final Fantasy XIII.
Mm-hmm. With the heritage of the series, it's surely going to be good. I can't see them messing it up.
I can't see them messing it up. I mean, they've made some pretty solid games. I mean, their last entry of Xenoblade Chronicles was fantastic, but I mean, this team's worked on Xeno games for a very long time now, and they know what they're doing. So, yeah, I'll be interested in seeing the final result.
What about Persona?
Persona, yeah, it's all right. Like, again, it's like I really like JRPGs. I haven't even got time to play them.
You have got a few that you haven't...
I've got
really
a ton that I haven't dug into which makes me sad.
Was there anything else? NES Remix for 3DS could be a good fun
title. Yeah, it looks nice. I'm a bit gutted we didn't get the Wii U version on physical format like the US did, but happens.
It seems to me the game to be suited to the 3DS quite well.
Yeah, maybe. But I watched Angry Video Game Nerd, I've forgotten his actual name, on their Monday
James
play
Rolf.
Thing.
Yeah.
James and
Mike
play... thing where they were playing on the Wii U looked quite fun.
Yeah.
So I'm a bit gutted we didn't get a physical release of it. I might pick it up, but yeah, we'll see.
What else was mentioned on Nintendo Direct? We've talked about the Amiibos.
The Amiibos
already, and they released some information about
how they're going to work in things.
How they're going to work in certain games. And
Hyrule Warriors, you get a spinning top.
Spinning top weapon. Yeah.
Fucking hell.
And there was a few other things.
I can't remember any of them, though, so they can't really have been that exciting.
It wasn't particularly exciting.
A lot of games are set in a big world where you're a small spaceship.
Oh, yeah.
I was very excited for Naproc's games. I was very excited for Naproc Games' Affordable Space Adventure. And then I saw 12 other games that also looked the same and kind of made me a bit sad.
I think my eye's really on the indie titles now.
Yes.
I'm very interested in how Nintendo seems to embrace the indie developers and how they... That was the most exciting bit of that Nintendo Direct for me.
But what games really stood out to you?
There was something.
Yeah.
Other than Shovel Knight. There was something.
Okay.
I can't remember. I'd have to watch it again. But there was stuff that got me excited. It wasn't all the spaceship adventure games.
The new SteamWorld Dig-esque title.
There's that. Gunman Clive 2.
Yes.
The original's great. So I'll play that one.
Yeah.
I love my simple platform games.
You do. They look nice. Cool the gang. I think that brings us to the end of the podcast. Fortunately, we did all of the releases for the next 6 months
at the end of last week's podcast. Then tune to the end of last week's podcast.
Yes,
you probably should. Have to be like halfway through the podcast. We spent nearly half a podcast talking about it.
We did.
But November's a very exciting month for games. And of course, now Smash Bros. Is out at the end of November as well, 28th. It's getting the same release in Europe as it is in the States.
Yeehaw.
And will I buy it? I'm still undecided. I've bought too much lately that I've hardly played.
Likewise.
Our good friend Austin's going to buy it, so we're going to play it anyway.
Yeah, he'll bring it round.
Yeah, it's a game to be played multiplayer.
So. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, more news on that as it comes. That's like the end of this week's podcast.
It is indeed. If you've liked it, please tell your friends. This podcast only really exists as a labour of love by us, and so if you know anyone into retro gaming, hey, give them a shout and say, hey, if you're listening to this podcast called Tom and Matt Attack, it's very nice. You can get it from blastproset.com, from iTunes, where you can also listen to it on Stitcher. You should probably do that, because, well, we get nothing from this other than making it, and it would be nice to know that people are listening, so if you know people, tell them about it. You can find it on the previously mentioned sources, like I said, blastproset.com, tomandmattattack.com/podcast, iTunes and Stitcher. You can also find us at facebook.com/tomandmattattack, and you can also find us on Twitter at TMAcast.
It's not hard to find us, all those places to find us in.
No, blow into a magical conch shaped like a Game Boy and I will appear. Until next time, guys, it's good night from me and good night from him. Game on.
Game on.